Mediocrity Podcast. Talks about that nerdy stuff. Movies, comics, and video games. It's all good and there ain't no fluff. Brian Kluger is hosting the show. Jeremy Miggert's got jokes. Jonathan Atterbury sounds really handsome, and we all sure love you folks.
Hello and welcome to another amazing, well, not amazing, our show, Mediocrity Podcast, where the show is just okay. Mediocrity Podcast on iTunes. Type in Boomstick Comics, type in Multimedia Men, type in Mediocrity in iTunes. It'll come up. Subscribe. Oh my goodness, this show today. Oh, you're in for a treat, folks. I'm Brian Kluger, and I'm joined by the impressive people, creative people all over the country. One being right pretty much in the same neighborhood as I am, and one being all the way on the West Coast. Jonathan Atterbury and Jeremy Maggart, how are you folks doing this fine afternoon?
Doing very well, sir. Thank you.
I'm super good, and I'm super happy.
I think he's happy because we have a fun topic today. We're going to talk about martial arts stuff, martial arts movies and the like later on.
It's a theme show.
It's a theme show. Yes, it is
a theme show. It is a martial arts-themed episode of Mediocrity, which may actually catapult us into the excellent category.
We don't know yet. We don't know, but everybody's doing well over the past week. Everybody's doing fine.
Doing great, man.
Yeah.
Life's good.
Good, 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 good. So let's see. Let's start out with some stuff that's going around that people might be interested in. Give us our take on it. Speaking of kind of like a martial arts type of episode, martial arts episode kind of. I don't know how much martial arts is in it, but it does involve certain kung fu and fighting. Archer, the TV show Archer on FXX. Archer. It's coming up with its 9th season and will set to debut on Wednesdays starting April 25th. This new show is what it says is that Archer himself, played by H. John Benjamin, or voiced by him, is going to be a semi-functioning alcoholic seaplane pilot on the lush South Pacific island where the year is 1939. So I guess the whole season is going to take place in 1939 in the South Pacific, where Archer and his ragtag group of people, including Pam and everybody else, will be part of the show. What do you think about this? Do you think this is kind of a cool aspect? Like they're just kind of no more continuity, really, but we're here and there.
I think it sounds awesome. Now, I'm not familiar enough with the later seasons of the show. Have they done alternate universes before in this show, or is this a first one?
I don't remember them doing something quite like this, but there's, for the last few seasons, like at one point, Archer and his group became the bad guys. And like, I mean, they're like doing stuff different like that. But as far as this, I don't really know.
It sounds so. It's going to be like Archer in the Indiana Jones world.
Correct. Correct.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, Archer must navigate quicksand, cannibals, super intelligent monkeys, poison darts, and pirates on this mysterious island. So sounds like yes.
Dude, count me in.
There could be continuity. Krieger could have a time machine or something like that, and they all get fucking transported back. So.
That's true. That's true. That could
absolutely. It could still have continuity.
Yeah, I'm excited because I like the show Archer. I think it's really funny. I think that character Archer with H. John Benjamin's voice is like the perfect mix of like wrong and right. Like it just.
Oh, absolutely. That show is so funny, man. The way that they and just not only the voice acting, but the way it's written, everything about it, they do such a great job with that show.
It is pretty good. So yeah, it is The season is called Archer Danger Island and will premiere April 25th on FXX. So we're all looking forward to that. Another bit of news coming your way. I don't know. I mean, we'll go with martial arts or fighting style. Chris Hemsworth, who's known for Thor and other films. I guess Chris Hemsworth is in talks and is most likely will star in a reboot of Men in Black with F. Gary Gray, the guy who directed the recent Fast and the Furious movie, scripted to direct the film, along with writers from the first Iron Man movie. This movie is slated to be released in 2019, and I guess what they're saying is that how Jurassic World kind of still revolves around the Jurassic Park world, it was kind of a reboot with new characters mostly. So I guess this is Men in Black is going to be take place in the same world where Agent K and Jay were in, but not feature Will Smith or Tommy Lee Jones, but new characters. And
that's interesting.
So my question to you is, do we need this? Will it work without Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones? Is this tired? Do we need it? What do you think? And is Chris Hemsworth the right person for Men in Black?
I think it has potential. I don't think Men in Black revolves around or rests upon Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones. While they were obviously great in those movies, I don't think that they're the linchpin. I think it's a fun world and it's a fun idea, and I think it could work with a lot of different actors and characters.
I agree with John, you know, and Hemsworth, I think, can work like similar to how Will Smith works. Like, he can handle all the physical stuff. But he's actually a pretty funny dude. You know, he was funny in Thor. You know, even in that goofy little Crocodile Dundee commercial, he was funny in there. He was in the newer Ghostbusters movie and arguably one of the funniest cast members of that movie, which was full of comedians. You know, so I think it'll be good. I mean, honestly, I would rather have this than the, like, 21 Jump Street Men in Black rumored crossover, which then would have led to you know, those guys taking over as the Men in Black.
Yeah,
thank God that's not happening.
Well, I guess supposedly what the rumor mills around the whole story arc is that the movie will take place in London and story set in London, where it revolves around a white character, perhaps Chris Hemsworth, a black woman, and an older man.
So what you're saying is that Chris Hemsworth is probably not the black woman or the old man?
I mean, I wish she was the black woman. That would be amazing. And have a black woman play the white man. Just
shit's getting crazy.
Shit's getting crazy.
Just mix it up.
So, I mean, it would be funny if they got Tessa Thompson to be in that role, because that was like the Valkyrie from Thor Ragnarok. And they're just, oh, here they are, Men in Black. I don't know. They could do that. Or they could do that. But who knows? But yeah, the movies have made over $1 billion, at least the last three have. So, of course, they're going to try to reboot it. And I hope so. And I agree with Jeremy. I think Chris Hemsworth has amazing comedic chops in addition to his, you know, action-y type stuff. But with script by Iron Man writers and F. Gary Gray, I think that's kind of a win-win, I think.
Sounds like it could be good. I mean, I'm interested.
Yeah.
It does not sound like a train wreck up front.
Yeah. It has potential to be a train wreck, of course, like every movie does, but who knows?
Yeah, F. Gary Gray has been a great filmmaker. Like, his most recent one was Fate and the Furious, but he originally started out as the director of that amazing film Friday. And then he directed the remake of Italian Job, and then Be Cool, and the award-winning Straight Outta Compton movie. So I think that's a damn cool,
pretty respectable resume there.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I'm just, yeah, that came out, and I was like, huh. I like Men in, I loved Men in Black 1. I really disliked Men in Black 2, and I really liked Men in Black 3. So I don't. Yeah, I don't know where they were going to go. I think they've been trying to do Men in Black 4, but I think Will Smith is just wants too much money and Time
Man, I don't know about that. That doesn't make sense. Like, if Netflix can afford him for Bright, I would think that they'd be able to afford him for Men in Black 4.
But I would imagine Netflix thing is way different than like a big box office thing, because box office is buying tickets, whereas Netflix is just subscribers. So I don't know. I have no idea how that works, because they can't. Nobody's going to sign up for Netflix just on Will Smith and alone, but people can go to the theaters.
I disagree. I think that whenever they have a humongous release on Netflix, they're doing it to hopefully draw in new subscribers.
True, but definitely not with Will Smith, I don't think. I
guarantee you that there were at least a few thousand people that signed up for Netflix just because of that movie.
I don't know.
I agree with John on that one.
Huh. I don't know. Let me look that up.
It's a pretty big ticket. I mean, Will Smith is a pretty big pull, you know?
He's still the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, goddammit.
Show some respect.
You give credit where it's due.
I'm looking at worldwide. Netflix became one of the site's most streamed programs ever, although it received negative reviews from critics. I'm trying to look to see if something like where the audience response or something like that, how many. Yeah, they're doing a sequel, it looks like. So
nice. I thought that was such a cool movie. I know we've talked about it already, but I'm just being reminded now of how much I enjoyed that film.
I liked it too.
Lord of the Rings and Training Day.
Yes. To me, I would say it was more like Hellboy 2 meets Training Day.
So 11 million people, or 11 million Americans, streamed Bright within the first 3 days of its release. So,
but nothing about how many people signed up. I mean, there's probably no way to know unless they just look at how many people signed up around that release.
Well, Netflix is notorious or famous for not releasing, like, data such as that. So I don't know, but I guess according to Nielsen ratings, about 11 million people watched it within its first 3 days, which 11 million people, I guess, if you know, 11 million for movie ticket-wise times, what, 1250? 3 days, that's $137 million that it would have made, I guess, 11 million people viewed it. So that's a pretty big opening weekend.
Think about it this way, though. That wasn't everybody watching. It only counts one television. So if you've got five people in a room watching that movie, it's just off of one subscription.
Right.
Unlike in a movie theater where all five people would have to buy a ticket.
Correct. So only 11 million, I think Nielsen ratings is per TV, so that's 11 million TVs. So
exactly.
That's a pretty good opening weekend if you're going by that. So,
and if that's just one person watching it per television.
Well, of course they're doing a sequel, so I'm excited about that. But Chris Hemsworth, Men in Black, there you go. Before we get into martial arts stuff, there's a big event coming up this weekend that we should talk about, which are the Oscars. So this year, I'm going to ask you these questions. Out of the top five categories, picture, director, actor, actress, and writing, what movies or actors do you think should win in your mind? Not necessarily the ones that are nominated, but just out of the things you saw this year, which should win in your mind? Whether it be like Logan or Planet of the Apes or Baby Driver or Star Wars or anything like that.
Are you asking us all five of those questions at once?
Well, yeah. This is if you can think of them.
Just randomly yell things that you would like to have an award.
No, and I mean like for Best Picture, like
Last Jedi,
the biggest like movie awards of the year, basically. What?
Well, ask us a specific category, and we can give you a specific answer.
Okay. Well, yeah. Let's go with writing.
Are we basing this on who's already nominated or what we would have just liked to win in general?
No, I said not necessarily who's nominated. This by stuff you saw this year, who you personally think should win out of the stuff you saw, but not necessarily that's actually nominated.
That's a hard one. When did Arrival come out?
That's not this year. That was a
okay. I thought maybe that was last year. The year before. Whatever. God, I mean, this is hard. It's hard to think off on top of my head. I don't know, man.
So like I'll name some movies like Get Out, The Big Sick, Baby Driver, Star Wars, Shape of Water, Split, Three Billboards, War for the Planet of the Apes, Logan, Raw, Colossal, Mother, Trainspotting 2, Dunkirk.
I would say I just from a writing angle, I'd give it to Mother. I think that was the most interesting story of any movie I watched this year.
Okay. Darren Aronofsky's Mother. All right. It is batshit insane on all levels.
It was so clever though. I love the way that they put together that story and had everything tie in. And I don't know. I think the only reason it got bad reviews is because most people are too dumb to get it.
Okay. All right. Jeremy?
Oh, writing, man, I'd probably give it to Split.
Split?
Based on what I've seen. There were a lot of those movies that you listed that I've not seen, but I'd give it to that.
Split was damn good. Split, oh, so good. And writing for me, I probably will go with Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. I just thought the whole story and how it was told and the dialogue and everything was perfect. Three different ones. I like that. Okay, let's do directing. What do you think best director should be for what movie?
Christopher Nolan for Dunkirk, man.
Oh, yeah. Damn good.
That was fucking fantastic. And everything, so much about that to love.
Cool. Jeremy.
Man, I'm going to go with, Mangold for Logan.
Yep. Holy shit. That was so good in that movie, how he took that character and made this amazing movie that was emotional as well as what the character should be. Fantastic. Since we're doing director, there's kind of like two of them I'm going to put out there. One is definitely foreign. So I don't know if that. Because Julia Durkinow directed Raw. I think it's a French film, and I think that was one of the best directed movies ever, but of the year at least. But if I'm not going with that, I'm going to give it to Jordan Peele for Get Out, because damn if he didn't pay attention to detail in every scene in that movie and perfectly get that mix of comedy and like thriller to it.
He nailed that. That was a hell of a good film and so well executed.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go with director for Get Out for that, because oh man, just so good. All right, actor and actress, whichever ones y'all want to mention. You can say the character or the girl or the guy from the movie or whatever.
Well, I'm gonna say Hugh Jackman for Logan.
Yep.
I think the acting job in that was just completely perfect.
I
agree.
Yep, I totally said in many radio shows and articles, like, Sir Patrick Stewart and Hugh Jackman need to get Oscar nominations for the roles because they were so damn good. But of course, they're not.
Yeah.
They didn't. But I totally agree. Actresses, anybody?
Nothing's coming to mind.
Yeah,
I can't think of any like female performance. I might just be forgetting, but I can't think of any female performance that was just like really memorable from this year.
I guess if you haven't seen Shape of Water, the mute chick in Shape of Water.
Right, I have not seen that yet.
Very good, as well as what's her name? Frances McDormand in Three Billboards. Fantastic. Those would be my females.
I always like her.
Yeah. And as far as actor as well goes, I've got to give a shout out to Andy Serkis. Like, I know it's like he's actually acting as Caesar in War for the Planet of the Apes, but holy shit, that that role. Like he just does so well. He did.
Do they have a category for best mocap performance yet?
No, they do not.
They really need to get on that.
I mean, he was actually
I feel like that
acting.
Deserves its own but I feel like that it's a unique skill set though that has to be done for that to work, and I think that really deserves its own category.
He'll win like every year. And I also want to give I don't think he was nominated, but he should have. McAvoy for Split. Like, holy shit. The dude.
Yeah, he did a great job in that movie.
Yeah, he would be a close second for me behind Jackman for Logan.
Yeah, damn good.
I cannot wait for Split 2. I actually saw some pictures recently of McAvoy online. He's been beefing up, man. He's really getting built for that for his role in Split 2. He wants to be able to look like he could take on – I mean, Bruce Willis is all old now, but still, he wants to look like a supervillain, you know?
Yeah, seriously.
It's getting cool.
Well, good. I'm glad we're all kind of on the same page there. All right, so picture – out of the best films or the films that you saw in 2017, which one deserves that coveted best picture?
Mother.
Wow. That's a bold choice, Cotton. We'll see how well that stands.
I don't think it's going to play out, but I loved that movie. I thought there was such an intelligent film.
Good. Yeah, it's definitely different. Well, there you go. All right. Mother, fantastic. Jeremy.
Oh, I'd give it to Logan.
Logan. Yeah, see, Logan is so damn good. So damn good. That's so good. Yes. and I'm torn. Get Out or Baby Driver? I love Baby Driver, and I love Get Out so much. I'm going to go with Get Out. I just think that out of everything, Get Out was like the best movie of 2017 and the most memorable, and just had everything going for it at once. Like, there was not a bad part of that movie, so I'm going to give Best Picture Get Out.
That's good, because Baby Driver's overrated.
I love Baby Driver so much. It's so much fun.
I thought Baby Driver was a lot of fun, but I do agree that it's overrated. I agree with both of you.
I agree with both of you, Shaj. All right. So, yeah, Oscars are coming up this weekend, I believe, on Sunday. So, yeah, if you're going to watch that, that's sort of your cup of tea. I don't think any of the stuff we really mentioned is nominated, other than, like, maybe Get Out and Three Billboards and Shape of Water.
Dunkirk didn't get any nominations.
Oh, yeah, Dunkirk did get nominations. You're right. Dunkirk did.
I feel like if nothing else, that should be in just the sound category, you know?
Yeah, you know what? I think Dunkirk, as well as Baby Driver, deserve editing as well, because those movies edited were perfect. So, yeah, we'll see who wins, but it definitely won't be Mother or Logan, unfortunately, for Best Picture. All right, moving on. Before we get to our martial arts thing, we have a martial arts movie I want to bring up because this movie came out in 1988, which was a long time ago. How many years ago was that? That was 30 years ago. I don't think Jonathan Atterbury was a glimmer in his parents' eye in 1988.
I was 2 years old.
Oh, still, he wasn't a glimmer in his parents' eye.
That glimmer had died a year or two before.
But in 1988, this week, February 26th, pretty much just a day or so ago, the movie world and the world as itself was introduced to a man named JCVD, Jean-Claude Van Damme, in the movie Bloodsport, which is a huge martial arts movie. This pretty much gave Jean-Claude Van Damme international stardom. And yeah, this wasn't by any means his first film. He did a couple very small roles before then. Actually, he was really only like an extra, basically, in his previous movies. But 1988 is his first feature film as a starring role as real-life person Frank Dukes. It gave us the career of Jean-Claude Van Damme. So, have you both seen Bloodsport? Please say yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember, like, it doesn't, I mean, it holds up, but it doesn't hold up. I remember seeing it when I was really young, and I just loved everything about it. I actually think I saw it when it came out, when I was like 7. I was like, dude, this guy is amazing. And like the 80s cheesy soundtrack and like just a good old fashioned like Hulk Hogan character, just honor and respect and everything. I don't know. What do you guys think of it?
I still enjoy watching Bloodsport. I do. I don't know if I would say it's a great film, but I enjoy it.
Okay. Jeremy?
Man, I don't even remember the last time I've seen it. So I'm not sure how well it holds up or not.
So, I mean, I've watched it recently, and yes, it holds up for the most part in a very nostalgic way. The fight scenes aren't that great. I mean, they show some pretty cool fight scenes. But
yeah, I mean, honestly, like the JCVD fight scenes, fight choreography has never been that great. He's a great martial artist, but not that great at the fight choreography for films.
Yeah, I agree.
Like Steven Seagal, same thing, where it's like you got a great martial artist that just is not fun to watch in movies.
The guy who directed it is a guy named Newt Arnold, who passed away in the year 2000. But he, when he first, I guess, got on everything, or like when one of his credits is that he was the first assistant director for Godfather Part II. And then, you know, years later, went on to Bloodsport.
Naturally. The only logical step.
Correct. But this movie was made for like $1.5 million. But it ended up making over $65 million at the box office, solidifying Jean-Claude Van Damme's career in the 80s and 90s.
Allowing him to then move on to his greatest role as Guile in Street Fighter.
Correct. But I love this movie so much because, I mean, it has a very young Forrest Whitaker and what's the guy, Donald Gibb, who plays his friend Ray Jackson from the U.S., who was also Ogre in Revenge of the Nerds. Like, this is like a crazy cast to me. And then Bolo Young as the evil Chung Lee, who was, how old was he during this movie? He was born in 1946, so... 56, 66, 76, 86.
That's the really, really big guy.
No, yeah. Bolo Young is like the big evil guy he fights at the very end.
Right, right.
So he was 41 years old when that movie came out. And he looks like he's 21 in that movie.
Seriously, that's amazing. It's incredible.
But I guess Bolo and Jean just became good friends after that, and they worked together and kept friends forever.
Wasn't Bolo in one of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies?
Bolo was – I'm looking that up right now. So Bolo was in –
I'm trying to remember what his like other roles are, because I know that I've seen him in a number of kind of classic 80s
Bloodsport, Double Impact, which is also another Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. He was in Ironheart, and that's all I see right now. I don't see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles at all.
Interesting.
So he was in Kentucky Fried Movie, which is a fantastic film. He was in Enter the Dragon. He worked with Bruce Lee a lot, which we'll get to later. But yeah, Bloodsport. If you've never seen this movie, it's like this... true story about this guy named Frank Dukes, who's a martial artist who travels. He hears about this this martial arts competition called the Kumite, which they definitely fictionalized in the movie. But I guess from the reports from Frank himself, at the very beginning of Bloodsport, there is a scene where they're showing fighters around the world, and there's a scene where fighters are like along the beach in sand with fire going around them, and they said like that was pretty much the real Kumite. But in here, it's like in Hong Kong, and it's got like betting and all sorts of stuff in like an arena. So Frank Dukes just, you know, basically destroys everybody for years in real life in this competition, whereas the big bad guy Chung Lee just wants to win and actually kills people in the ring and does not feel remorse. So I don't know. What do you think?
I think that was a lot of information on.
I don't know. It's great. If you haven't seen it, go see it. Don't.
I'm still stuck about when you were talking about the bedding.
The bedding. Oh, the bedding. Yes, the bedding. Yes, it is. They bet on that. You know, it was all good. A remake of Bloodsport was reported to be planned in 2011, but nothing has happened yet. So supposedly,
that's probably for the better. I don't think we need. I mean, why even remake Bloodsport? Just make a new movie with the same script, and it'll be fine.
I agree.
You don't have to make it Bloodsport. Just change the name. Make a new movie that's exactly the same. Nobody will notice.
Well, I guess the last part of this was, I guess this has been in development since 2011, but nothing has happened yet. But I guess the latest news on it was like the main character was supposed to be a war vet and then coming to do this tournament. And the V for Vendetta director was attached to direct it. But again, nothing has happened. So
I would say if it's been in development since 2011, it's probably not really in development.
I mean, you never who knows?
Nobody's putting in fucking 8 years of work on a Bloodsport remake.
Well, they made – remember
– it's like Lord of the Rings. They need a decade to get it done.
Yeah. We really just – hang on, guys. We just got to sit down and think about this.
They made
– this requires a lot of thought. Let's not rush it.
Some intense world building here.
We need to mull it over for a while to make this movie.
Ah, all right. Well, I just remember there were three sequels for Bloodsport. Bloodsport 2, The Next Kumite, Bloodsport 3, and then Bloodsport 4, The Dark Kumite. I have not seen any of these movies, and Jean-Claude Van Damme did not appear in any of them. But I don't know.
It's a safe bet that they suck.
Yeah, well.
Pretty bad. That's why none of us have heard of them or seen them.
I knew they made them, but I'd never watched any of them.
Well, speaking of martial arts movies, I believe Atterbury, you have a top five martial arts movies that you've always liked, or that people should see, suggestions on the best martial arts movies. Is this right?
No. That's the next. We're doing that last.
You're stalling. You're buying time. I know what you're doing.
What am I doing?
Not having it.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about our top five favorite martial arts movies after what's going to come next.
Oh, my God. Okay, explain it.
All right, so for the benefit of our dear listeners, what's going to happen is, so last week, Brian dropped a bombshell and revealed to all of us that he's actually a black belt in Taekwondo, right?
Correct.
So apparently, he is a black belt, a full-on black belt in Taekwondo. And really, so Jeremy and I have never seen hide nor hair of this prowess that he's got.
We have never witnessed these martial arts skills.
So
Lord knows they don't spill over into video games.
So, or any other facet of real life. But what's going to be happening here is Brian. So what we're going to do is Brian is going to, with his headphones on, he's going to tell Jeremy and I and the listeners what he's about to do. He's going to say, all right, guys, I'm going to do this move or whatever. And then he's going to take off his headphones, Jeremy, and step away so we can see his full body, and he's going to do his move. And Jeremy and I will be narrating for the listeners, telling them exactly what we're seeing. And then once Brian is done doing that move, he will put the headphones back on so Jeremy and I can tell him what we thought of what we saw. And he's going to do that for a number of different moves and all that kind of stuff. So it should be really fun.
Okay, so before we get into this, I'm trying to remember all the belts that I had in Taekwondo. There was the white belt. There was the yellow belt.
And black belt.
No, there was green, blue, orange, red, red, black, and then black. I had to go through all those tests. And if I
and getting to a black belt is not easy.
No, it took 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, and 3 or 4 years, I'm sure, of hard work.
No, so this was when I was much younger. This is not in my 20s or 30s.
Wait, so John just said 3 or 4 years of hard work, and the first word out of Brian's mouth was no.
No. No, it was extremely hard work.
Not really.
My parents just gave it was just
a lot of money.
My instructor was...
He was the Billy Madison of the black belt of his Taekwondo school.
My instructor was Master Kim from South Korea. And I remember going there a few times a week. And we learned patterns, kicks, punches. We learned to work with weapons such as guns, knives, bow staffs, and nunchucks. I unfortunately don't have my nunchucks here. I do have a pair of them, but they must be in storage. Otherwise, I would have demonstrated that for you.
For those of you that are listening, Brian's lying. I see them hanging on the wall behind them. Apparently, he just doesn't want to do it. What? I just want to clarify one thing, because really all I'm seeing in my head and all I'm hearing is I was the Great White Ninja.
You think I was like Chris Farley?
I think that it's a possibility, but we're going to find out. And we may be, Jeremy and I very well, may be completely eating our hats in a moment here. I'm ready to be impressed.
Okay. But no, I was
we're open-minded. We're ready.
I'm coming at this neutral, man, and I will tell you if you're doing awesome.
Yeah, I get it. And I'm just trying to figure out... I'm just trying to give people a background of like how long ago it was and what I did, because I remember how you have to have tests, and during these tests to go to the next belt, you had to perform your pattern, is what they called it, which was a series of moves, and then you would usually spar and you would break boards. Unfortunately, I don't have any boards to break here, but I always did that. Usually, did it with your feet or your fists. I do remember one time I was doing one of the tests, and they held like the leather pad way high in the air, and I had to do a really super high kick. And I went to do it, and of course I had like, you know, the white garb on, you know, like
gi. It's called a gi.
Oh, is that what is a gi?
It's the white karate it's the white martial arts uniform that's kind of like, you know, like almost like a robe, something like that.
So when I went to do this, and I don't think it was at the test, I think it was during practice when I went to do that, like my leggings must have been too long or my pants must have been too long, and I slipped. And when I went to do the big high kick, I didn't land on my feet. I landed on my back. And that was the first and I think only time where they say they knock the wind out of you. The wind was knocked out of me. Like, I could not breathe. Like, I was gasping for air. And I remember Master Kim just like rubbing my stomach like, you know, it's going to be better. It's going to be better. Just, you know, take it easy. And I'm like, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. And then like after a few minutes, I remember that really, really well. But Master Kim was like, it was all about you're never supposed to fight unless like you're protecting yourself. Like, and it was,
yeah, it's life or death.
Yeah. So,
or, yeah.
No, oh, it was fun. Oh, do I have to do
so
this?
Do you have, yes, you do.
You're still stalling.
And do you have in mind some of the things you want to demonstrate for us?
So I'll probably,
because really it's going to be a matter of what you remember, I suppose.
Yeah. So what I'm basically thinking of doing is I could probably remember like a real easy pattern. I'll probably demonstrate a couple of kicks. And basically that's it, cause I don't have anything else, and I'm kind of in like a small little room. So we're going to do the best we can. But again, once I'll come back, to the mic to say what I'm performing here. And unfortunately I think I'm gonna have to see your faces, so I'm gonna try to not look at them.
Yeah, just focus on doing your moves. Yeah. don't bother looking at the screen, and when you come back, we'll give you feedback.
We'll have this. John and I are competent.
Okay. Yep. So
we can speak lots of words.
So the first thing I think you should do is demonstrate all of your just basic strikes with your hands. So okay. Be it a punch, you know, a chop, whatever the different strikes you have with your hands, just show us your basic strikes.
Okay, hold on. Let me see if this is going to work here.
All right, so currently Brian is getting ready, setting up the camera. It's
all right, I'm going to take my microphone off right now to see how far this stretches back, and I'll be right back. So y'all,
okay.
Y'all go ahead and do some talking.
We'll keep an eye on the frame for you here.
All right. So unfortunately, it seems as though Brian is in a small bedroom, so we don't have a lot of room for him to hurt himself in. Maybe for the best. Maybe we'll get lucky and he'll punch through the door or something.
Or just like go crazy and then fall through it.
So, okay. Brian, we can't see your legs at all from that angle, but you can't hear us either.
Yeah. That's okay. I mean, if we can just get most, we should be all right.
Okay, what do you think? What should I...
I think that was good. I think you just need to bring the camera down a little bit because there was a bunch of empty space up top. And we couldn't see your legs.
Okay, let me try this.
All right. All right, so the camera looks like it should be better now. Oh, yeah, that's good.
No, that's much better.
Brian's giving us the thumbs up and asking if it's good, and we gave him thumbs up back.
Yep.
That looks good, Brian.
Okay. So this is so ridiculous. I am in this small little room, and I guess they could see me. I really just don't have any gear on right now at all because I don't own gear. I just have my jeans on and a third man.
Stop stalling.
I'm actually nervous about this. So I don't know what to do. Okay, so
basic strikes. Just do your series. Like, it doesn't have to be any moves right now. Just show us your basic hand strikes.
All right, I'm going to show you basic hand strikes right now, okay?
All right.
Okay, so here we go.
All right, it's beginning. Kluger is stepping back. He's currently pointing at his knuckles, showing you that he knows how to make a fist.
The proper way to make a fist, yep.
He's showing us how to make a fist. Now it looks like he's
kind of getting into...
gone into a set.
His wide stance.
Yeah! 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 He's demonstrating. Yeah! So right now it looks like Louis C.K. being attacked by bees.
Yeah!
All right. And now he got a very respectful bow.
That was good.
All right. That was good, man. That looked good.
Yeah.
I'm like winded.
I'm pleasantly surprised.
Okay.
Yeah, those look pretty deadly, man.
Okay. All right.
Can we see if from the side, like a side view instead of towards us?
Sure. Here we go. Side view.
All right. So he's stepping back. And he's looking at the camera still, looking to the side.
I don't want him to be able to see us laughing at him.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so much better.
It really, the facial expression is really what's making it here.
Yeah.
All right. Those are some good crazy eyes we got. And another bow. I really like that.
Yep. Very, very respectful.
That's good, man. We're impressed by all of it. And those bows, I'm surprised that we got the bow twice.
All right. Cool. All right.
Kicks, you want to show us your basic kicks now?
Yeah, I'll show your basic kicks. I'll do a... I'm winded. I'm going to do a side kick, front kick, a double kick. And I'll try to do a back kick. We'll see. Here we go.
The hardest thing right now is trying not to laugh when he's talking to us.
I know.
It's so hard.
I like my poker face has been working so hard on this episode.
I'm trying. I'm not good at the poker face. All right. So he's pointing at us.
He is pointing.
The hands
are
up.
He's very serious.
Oh,
bare feet.
Bare feet. Like a true ninja.
Totally see his taint.
Yeah. I'm amazed that the pants have not torn yet.
I'm surprised how high the leg is. I'm not going to lie.
I am too.
I was expecting more of a, you know, 45 degrees from the floor.
Whoa, we're getting a 3D kick
oh,
right
now. Look
camera.
At that. Some 3D glasses.
Oh, he almost fell.
He did almost fall. That would have been great.
He almost fell. For those of you who are listening, he's up on 1 foot and it almost looks like he's about to fall first still. Oh, he's getting low.
Just looked at the ceiling. What's happening
next? I think he's looking at the ceiling to make sure that his kicks won't go so high that they hit the ceiling. And he's doing a jump kick that's reaching about maybe 2.5 or 3 feet off the ground. But apparently he's worried that it's going to hit the ceiling. he's about to do something, but he aborted.
No, wait.
What were you about to do
that you stopped?
It's getting out of breath. I was about to do another jump kick.
What? How is that one different than the last one?
I don't know.
I think you should do it.
I was going to try to do it for the other foot, I guess.
Go for it.
All right.
I'm a little afraid we might be killing Brian. All right, here we go. Another jump kick. He's getting in the set. He's squatting down. He's punching. He's punching. Interesting. Oh, there's the front kick again.
Combo moves, some punches and some kicks.
Yeah. Oh, check that out. Ooh,
little elbow. I like
little
that.
Elbow being brought down on the skull of his enemies.
Ooh, shit.
That looked good, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to put this stuff back.
How are you feeling?
Good.
So what other move sets can you show us? That's not the end of it. It's not done yet.
Oh, my God.
They're not done.
I got to take a break.
But we are impressed.
Yeah.
Are you?
I was surprised by how high you got that last kick.
Well, thank you. So...
Brian's currently sitting on the floor apparently right now.
I need some water. Hold on.
I am afraid that Brian might be about to have a heart attack. So, yep, he's drinking water and looking sweaty and really pink.
Like a raw hot dog.
A raw hot dog. Oh, shit. Oh, I had that mic up to my ear like it was a phone.
How you doing there, buddy?
I'm good. That was fun.
Don't go pulling a Kevin Smith on us.
Oh, no. Hopefully not. We're glad he's still with us.
We are. So what else do you have planned for us? Like, what other things do you remember that you can demonstrate for us here? What are some of the more complicated things? Because you've shown us the punches and the kicks. I want to see some of, like, the real black belt shit. Because that what you just showed me was, like, yellow belt stuff.
No, correct. But, like, with black belt stuff, I don't think I could do that anymore. That's, like, severe, like, roundhouse or jump roundhouse kicks. No way.
So you can't do any – so you're not a black belt anymore. you were once a black belt, and now you've reverted to yellow belt status.
What are you talking about? Once you're a black belt, you're always a black belt.
I don't think that's true.
Is that true with, like, what? That doesn't make sense.
I think it's true in spirit. It's not like riding a bicycle, though. But so far, you're doing great. I think that you can do more than you're letting on. I think that you just need to believe that you can do more.
I agree.
Oh.
What about some routines?
Yeah. Like, can you think of any names of move sets that you had to do in the past?
So long ago. There's, like, very basic patterns, but it's nothing that I haven't just shown you just a second
ago. Did you learn any katas or anything like that?
What was that? What's that again?
Katas are move sets, basically. It's like choreography.
Right. Okay, so usually I have to have, like, usually a sparring partner to show them, because we would do kind of like in wrestling where you'd learn moves and takedowns and grappling techniques. But
you should be able to demonstrate those by yourself.
I'm not flipping around in here. Are you crazy?
I think you just need to commit, Brian.
Oh, no, there's no way.
We talked about this before the show.
You said, oh, I'm committed.
I am committed. Hold on.
I'm not feeling the commitment. So I don't know why he told us to hold on. He's rearranging the headphones. That's what's going on.
No, the headphones is wrapped around the mic cords. That's weird. No, man, that's... I'm trying to think of what else I could show you besides those kicks and punches. When I get into a larger space, which will be soon.
No.
No.
What would you do if somebody had you in a headlock?
Do I have to act this out?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't want you to tell me. I want you to show me.
Okay, in a headlock. Okay. What would I do if somebody was in a headlock? Okay.
Apparently, this is just if somebody's in a headlock, not if he's in a headlock. So here comes Kluger, the great white ninja.
So
he's bent over. He is presenting himself to us. He's pointing at his feet and Hulk stomping. And there's some interesting waddling happening here.
Yeah. Like a...
Huh?
Hmm?
No, I was saying that was good. Looked pretty good.
Yeah. Deadly. So a stomp on the guy's foot, elbow him in the stomach, and it gets you out of it.
That was good.
Yeah. So...
So were you going to see another what? Another what? You have more for us?
No.
Because that came back. You said you don't remember, and then you did that, and it came back quickly. So what would you do if somebody was holding on to your hands, and your hands were immobilized, and you had to attack them? I'm sure there's a move set for that.
Okay. Here we go.
This is like a bear hug scenario.
So a bear hug. So somebody's from behind me in a bear hug.
Yeah, or in front, if you can remember both variations, that's even better, or even to the side, whatever.
Okay, so let's say somebody has me in a bear hug. Bear hug. And then somebody has, or just has me with my arms.
Yeah, done.
So
either
I'll do the bear hug first, and I'll do just the arms second.
Okay.
This is the last one.
Okay. So just so the listeners know, it's getting uglier by the second here.
It's like a penguin trying to do kung fu.
He now looks like he's getting ready to sing a recital. He's got both hands together in singing position.
I'm ready for the national anthem.
And he's sneezing, and he's flailing his head around, pointing at his knee. And he's fisting the camera. And he's being less committed with every second that passes.
I think he's
out of oxygen.
Yeah.
It's now just devolved into flailing.
Yeah.
It's hard to do with.
Dude, that was awesome.
It was fantastic, man. You killed it.
Well, thank you.
That is really good. Yeah. I'm impressed, man.
Yeah, dude. You were fantastic.
I can't.
And you
wait
don't look tired.
Yeah, you look great.
Well, thank you.
You're holding in there.
That was fun. Let me set
you need to get back to it, man.
I should. Let me get this thing set back up.
All right. I'm so glad we get to watch that.
Oh my God, that was amazing.
That was one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen in my life. I'm speechless. I don't even know what to say. I'm so happy that we just got to watch that. And that was so ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, it was so good. I enjoy that.
Oh, my goodness. We were just saying how we were legitimately impressed, dude. I don't know if you can. No, I thought he put the headphones in.
There we go.
I'm back. Sweet. So...
We were just saying that we are legitimately impressed.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't wait to listen to this again because that'll be the true tale.
You hear us just being really impressed.
Yeah.
So my question to you guys is,
call an ambulance for you?
No, you probably saw this going differently. What did you see this going differently? How?
You know, I know we teased you a lot, but it pretty much went exactly the way I expected it to.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, once you told me that you were a black belt, I know we teased you, but it made sense to me.
It made sense to you.
Something about it was just like, yep, that sounds right. It sounds like it should be the way it is.
All right.
I have a feeling that you're just a lot deadlier than you let on.
Oh, no. I like fucking more than I like fighting.
Hey, man, I'm sure that's true for most fighters, but.
True. No, I've never really been in that situation, so hopefully I never will have to be.
I wouldn't want to fight you.
I would lose.
I don't know. That was pretty deadly stuff. You got those high kicks down.
Oh, those were fun. I'm surprised I'm still kind of limber. I'll probably be sore tomorrow.
Jeremy, any final thoughts?
Well, you know, I'll admit I was probably a little more skeptical than John going into this. We didn't really talk about it much as to what we thought was going in, but I was a little more skeptical. But yeah, in the end, I agree with John. Very impressive. Very good.
Well, thank you. I have one last thing to add.
Oh, what's okay. That?
Let's hit the showers, fellas. Hit the showers. Oh, that was no. That wasn't a good joke. No, really.
Are you quoting something or just being weird?
It's just being weird. That's what after okay. You have a good workout. Let's hit the showers.
Is that what your master made you do with him? I don't think that's normal. That's normal in prison. after your karate lesson, but
maybe you should stick to the kung fu instead of the jokes.
Ah, well, damn. Well, thank you. Okay. Kung Fu it is.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah. You're
welcome. Well, thank you. You got the the old workout routine done. Fantastic.
So, be honest now. When was the last time you got that much exercise?
I mean, not long ago. Like, there is a weight bench and an elliptical, and I like to go do walks and stuff like that. So not too long. I haven't like gone to a gym and worked out in a long time, like years, but
like it's good stuff, man.
It is.
I think you, why have you not gone back to martial arts? This is what's like, why have you stayed away for so long when you went so far into it?
Well, so when I got the black belt, I was like, to get the second degree, I think it was going to be like 16 months or 18 months to get the second degree. And then I think when I was getting into like high school and stuff like that. So like I did like more theater and band and all that other shit. So I think I just got out of it. Cause at the same time I was involved in baseball and soccer. So, but I just got to have all
it's
sports.
It's never
basically.
Too late to get back into it.
It's true.
I think you should absolutely get back into it. And it's a fun way to get in good exercise too.
No, dude, I always thought that martial arts and boxing was some of the best, you know, cardio and everything.
It is 100% true. And because it's more than just getting – you're not just doing cardio. You're not just running on treadmill. You're actually learning a really useful skill. So that's what makes it so cool.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Well, awesome. I'm so glad we did that.
I'm so glad, y'all, we did it too.
That was a blast.
I can't wait to listen to this show. This is.
I cannot wait for you to listen to this show.
did my screams come through?
Loud and clear.
Cool.
I think the listeners will be treated to every single one of your kias.
Oh, crikey. Crikey. All right.
So speaking of great martial artists, we're now going to discuss our five favorite martial arts films. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be ones like Brian was saying where it's like something people should watch, but just the ones that stand out in your memory as having the coolest fight choreography. Or, you know, whatever it is that you feel is the best.
Who's going first?
Brian, okay. Since you're the man of the hour,
yeah.
Why don't you tell us your list?
I have nine, but I only already mentioned one of them, so there's eight.
Dude, every time I say top five, you do more.
Because there's just so much more.
I know, but you need to whittle it down.
Okay. So, how about this? I'm just gonna before my top five or my five, I'm just gonna put Bruce Lee's like Enter the Dragon, Game of Death, and all those movies in its own category. Like those are fucking bad.
No,
you brought the kung fu. Don't let him fucking tell you what to do.
But my list, I'm gonna start with Kill Bill. That crazy 88 scene with the sword play and her, and just it's so good. That martial, it's so good, and it's got like the old school like spaghetti western feel to it, and like the blood just spews out like uncontrollably and over the top. Also, another one is two actually from Thailand that featured Tony Jaa, Ong Bak and Tom Yum Goong, otherwise known as The Protector. Fantastic martial arts films. Ong Bak.
Agree, man. Ong Bak is such all of those movies are so much fun. Tony Jaa is one of the most exciting martial artists to watch.
Yeah, it's those knees and elbows, that Thai style, and like Ong Bak, like there's a certain scene where he's in like this kumite type setting, and there's like three guys he has to fight. One guy just like knocks out like quickly, and the second guy is kind of like this matrixy type of futuristic guy who gets fucked up, and they're just guys, they just use the whole bar to destroy each other. It's so good. Tom Yong Goon has a scene that's all shot in one shot where he's running up a spiral staircase, just killing henchman after henchman, which leads to a big room where he just like breaks 100 guys' bones and limbs, and it's so badass.
His court fight choreography is just so hard hitting. That's what I love about his stuff. It just feels so visceral. And I also, we got to say how bad the movies are. Like, just from a movie perspective, those movies are abysmal, but the fight choreography is so good that it's worth it.
So I'm going to say, so the guy who directed those, the production company is called Ba Ram U, which, you know, if you've ever seen a certain movie, you know what that is. But it's made in Thailand, and if you actually watch the first Ong Bak movie, there are several things in the background on like buildings that from the messages from the director to like other directors, like Spielberg, let's do it, George Lucas, let's have fun, or something like that. He wants to clearly do big budget movies, and Ong Bak's probably the closest one to an actual narrative where like there's a kidnapping and Ong Bak is like the poor village guy who goes to the big city, whatever. Tom Yum Goong is about a boy and his elephant, basically. But it's just there's a lot of slow moving parts in most Tony Jaa movies that you really only want to fast forward to the actual fight scenes. But yes, Atterbury's right. My last two, because I've done three, The Raid. Both The Raid Redemption and the sequel. Oh my God, that guy. Also Thai style. Some of the most amazing martial arts I've ever seen. As well as my last pick, I'm going to go with The Matrix, because holy shit, Lawrence Fishburne and Keanu Reeves did such a good job stylistically with Kung Fu. I really enjoyed it. Damn good.
I agree. The Matrix has a lot of super fun stuff.
Yeah, that's one of my all-time favorite fight scenes between the two of them.
So good.
I will always maintain that that is why both of those guys are always excellent at kicking ass in any fight scene.
It must have been
because of that fight scene.
Whoever the fight choreographer for that film obviously was really good at their job, because he taught those guys how to fight so well on camera.
Those two guys fight with such authority. It's awesome. Like, I never questioned it. It never looks like neither of those guys ever look like two dudes that are just like practicing a choreographed routine.
Right. It looks so free flowing and just on point. All right. Well, once Jeremy's done drinking his cup of whiskey, I'm assuming. Why don't you tell us your list?
There's no alcohol. I only have alcohol on the show when Kluger's talking Star Wars.
Brian, you're starting to get a little splotchy over there.
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's getting redder.
Oh, it's just hot.
Are you feeling okay still?
Oh, yeah.
I just want to make sure we don't have to put in a call for you.
Oh, no, I'm good.
Get you picked up by the ambulance.
I'm good.
All right, Jeremy.
All right, I'm up. So, I had The Matrix on the list, but I figured that was most likely going to get mentioned by at least one of you guys, if not both. So I'm just getting that one kind of out of the way. in no particular order, I'm going to start with Forbidden Kingdom with Jet Li and Jackie Chan. I remember when I saw that movie, I really enjoyed it. That was kind of like, that's probably like arguably at like the height of their popularity for those guys, like in the U.S. And man, it was just, it was so much fun to see. Also, because you got to see Jet Li basically play, I think his character was the Monkey King at the end. And he's always, I mean, his introduction in America really was like the bad guy in fucking Lethal Weapon, you know, when he was like the Triad.
Yeah.
And so, you know, everything you always saw him in was that. And so at the end of the movie, he's like the, you know, the fantasy Monkey King, you know, goofy character. So I always thought that was super fun. Second, from the Marco Polo series on Netflix, there was a character in that show called Hundred Eyes. And he was the guy that basically trained all of the Khan's soldiers and the Khan's son. And there's a prequel to the TV show that's just called Hundred Eyes. And it's the story of him being this warrior who gets captured by the Khan. And then the Khan, so to keep him from running away, the Khan basically blinds him so he can't escape. And so basically it's just his job to train the Khan soldiers. So you get to see him going from having sight to being blinded, then kind of sort of relearning all of his skills without his vision kind of over the course of an amount of time where, and then by the end of it, he actually feels like he's better off in terms of like knowing his surroundings without his vision.
Interesting.
So if you've never seen it, it's super good. And honestly, the character Hundred Eyes throughout the two seasons of Marco Polo before they canceled it, he's honestly probably the most entertaining character on the show. And it's like he's always the dude you want more of. And hilariously, I think I actually watched this prequel that they did before I watched the first season. And then I started watching Marco Polo just because I watched the little like kind of like Hundred Eyes prequel spinoff.
Right on.
Very cool.
All right. Let's see. Next on my list, I was never really sure how this title is pronounced, if it's Ip Man or IP Man.
I think it's Ip Man.
Okay. That's always a favorite of mine. I dug the martial arts in that because it always just seemed very fluent and effortless. I always got a little tired of a lot of kind of like the Americanized martial arts movies because everything is always like, you know, super powerful kicks and stuff. And you know, when you watch him do the martial arts, it's very floaty. Everything is very clean. It's very fluid. And so I enjoyed that quite a bit.
Yeah, man, those are really fun to watch. Donnie Yen is really awesome.
Yeah, just super fun. All right, next I've got, this is a almost kind of generic one, but man, it's so much fun, is the is Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
That's a classic.
Yep. Kind of like I think the first like kind of bigger budget kung fu style movie that was kind of brought into the States. I just always really enjoyed the amount of ass kicking in that movie, and everybody looked legit. There was never like one time where you watch somebody and they didn't look good holding the sword. I feel like when you see a lot of times you'll see an actor like hold the sword, like, you know, sometimes it'll just be a little weird, a little funky, doesn't always look right. Just love that movie. And I'm gonna go a little different on the last one because I you know, you could probably still qualify this as a martial art. But I'm going to go with Rocky for my last one.
Rocky.
I'm going to go a boxing movie for the last one.
The original Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the best.
Very cool.
It is. Best picture, I think.
It did.
It is a great film. No doubt about that. And Carl Weathers looks so fucking rad in that movie.
Yeah.
He's hardcore.
Dude, Carl Weathers got in outrageously good shape for that and Predator and all that stuff. He was a actor that had a bodybuilder's physique and could have stepped on stage at Mr. Universe or Olympia and probably competed against those guys.
Yeah, definitely.
It was crazy how good shape that guy got into.
Yeah, it was funny because Josie was showing me some clips of when they were filming Creed, and you know, Michael B. Jordan, there were a couple times that he had to legitimately take some punches to make it look real and then fall on the mat. And she's like, oh, that, you know, I can't believe they did that. And I was like, man, I was like, that was all over the fucking, you know, the Rocky movies, man. Like, Sylvester Stallone and, you know, those guys were going like to hospitals to get checked out, you know, after fucking days of filming because they were just punching each other in the head all day long.
Yeah, those movies are all so much fun, and they did a great job with Creed. I was surprised how much I loved that movie. I'm really excited for the next one.
I need to rewatch it.
So good.
Yep. Well, good choices. I like those.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. So for my list here, I'm going to – the first one, this is in no particular order, but the first one gets overlooked a lot, I think, in martial arts movies, and I'm going to say Kung Fu Hustle.
Oh,
so, I loved that film.
So I love Kung Fu Hustle, and on my list, I didn't mention it, Shaolin Soccer, same people, same guy. Those movies are so good.
Yeah, the martial arts in Kung Fu Hustle is great, but also just the world that they built and the music and all like special effects, all of it was so much fun. Yeah,
it's great. It's great.
They did a great job with that movie. And I know, Kluger, you said you're going to put this on a separate list, but I'm not. Enter the Dragon. We can't not talk about that movie.
It's because I thought like the Bruce Lee movies, that's like that's its own category. Like they're that good. It's always going to be there. Like,
I mean, it's true. I mean, it's hard to compare other martial arts films to the Bruce Lee movies. But I mean, to be fair, a lot of them are not so good. But Enter the Dragon is a great movie, and it's a ton of fun to watch that movie.
Yeah, for sure.
Just
was that the Bruce Lee movie we watched in one of our dudes' nights at our old apartment?
Maybe it was the one with the guy that has the claw. I don't know if you remember that. It's like an old guy and he's got a claw, and there's also it's the island. All of the fighters have to come to the island and participate in this Mortal Kombat kind of tournament. Do you remember that one, Jeremy?
I think so.
It's great. There's a guy with a black dude with an afro. That's
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Really... No. That's not Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
One of them is.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is in a different Bruce Lee movie. Right, Game of Death, I think, is the one Game that he's Death. In. So definitely not Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
I reviewed all the movies, and I'm trying to remember which ones were which.
But that was awesome. I'm glad that happened.
Yeah, me too.
So, and Enter the Dragon, so much fun. Up next... I actually had on my list as well, Ong Bak, because I remember watching those when they were relatively new and just having so much fun with that. Those were so good. Next on the list, we've got Rumble in the Bronx from Jackie Chan.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Dude, all those 90s Jackie Chan movies are so much fun.
They're so exciting.
They're so exciting, and they're actually watchable, fun movies, unlike so many other martial arts movies where it's like a really bad movie, but you forgive it because the fighting's great. I actually enjoyed most of the Jackie Chan movies.
Good.
And of course, you know, we got to talk about the fact that he just – his stunts and the way he did all of those were just so impressive.
Yeah.
Because it's not just a matter of having good fight choreography. It's a matter of doing impressively crazy stunts. Mm-hmm.
And you next can't up, do that shit unless you're a physical badass.
It's so true. I can't believe, you know, I always loved watching the outtakes of those movies at the end, where you'd see just how much he got his ass kicked by himself when filming those movies. It's crazy. I can't believe that guy still walks.
One of like my favorite ones was, I guess he had like broken a foot. I think it was on that movie. And then like in the outtakes, you see him like he's got a cast that's a small cast that's painted like a tennis shoe.
Yeah.
And then he just pulls the jeans over it, and then he kicks his feet back and forth. And I was like, holy shit, you can't even fucking tell he's wearing a cast. I was like, how much of this movie is that motherfucker running around with a broken foot? Like, oh.
It's crazy. It's so much
fun. It blew me away.
So last on the list of my five, but I added a couple since I found out you guys were doing more than just five. Last on my list of five, I'm going to say Black Dynamite.
That's completely valid.
Goodness.
Completely valid because there are few people that I enjoy watching do martial arts as much as Michael Jai White.
Yeah, Michael Jai White is pretty badass. And
he is not pretty badass. He is fully badass.
Okay, he's fully badass. But I know, I agree. He's that movie's damn good and funny. And I remember when that came out and it was beautiful.
Yep, it's all of those things. It's just a fantastic film to watch. And then the things I added, that are a little outside the box, but I still would consider them martial arts films because there's, it's just got the best fight choreography to me. John Wick, 1 and 2. Pick your poison.
I actually thought about putting those on my list as well.
It's so awesome. The fight choreography, whether it's the way he's punching and kicking or whatever, or it's if with the gunplay, knives, any of that stuff, it's so exciting and fast and great to watch.
I love that movie when they mix in like the sort of like hand to hand with like the gunplay at the same time.
I know. You never saw that in any other movie where it's so fluidly switching from weapon to weapon and just looking perfect. So that, and the last one on my list, this is also out of the box, but Captain America Winter Soldier, because the fight choreography in that movie is so good.
All right. I agree.
That whole scene where he's running around the boat, kicking people's asses. I remember Jeremy and I saw it in theaters together, and I was just like, oh my God, it's so good.
Yeah. That was just like one after another. Yeah,
absolutely. So yeah, that's my list.
It's a good list, sir.
Those are all fun films.
I will fully give honorable mention to the Kung Fu Panda movies.
They are pretty funny. Skadoosh.
Those are fun movies as well. I like those.
It's so good. Well, I think that's our show today. We've run over time, but that's good. We had a good time, and I hope
it was worth it.
It was worth it. I can't wait to listen.
It was worth it.
We are Mediocrity, where the show is just okay, but maybe this episode we were just a little better than okay.
Maybe. I mean, we'll see.
You certainly were.
We'll see.
You were better than okay.
Well, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. As always, thank you to Jeremy Magert and Jonathan Atterbury. We are Mediocrity. Find us on iTunes. We will be back next week, perhaps with some more fun segments. We love you.